You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim,
where every show is an extravaganza of what's coming up. Who knows?
We don't know what is the topic. Maybe the content is different, but we are here.
Yeah, we kind of discuss sometimes what the show is going to be about. And by the time things happen, it changes quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So today's show is Exercise Fights Cancer, or Does It? How Pumping Iron Equals Beating Cancer. So how did this all end up? How did this all start?
I don't know. We start with different topics.
Yeah, so originally this started off as connections. How like connections are very important for our life from a standpoint of love and friendship. Part of it has to do with activity. And how this happened, we looked at going, if you are connected with people, you're having conversations, you're engaging your brain. Some of the blue zones, some of their specialties are people are located in towns where they're close enough where they can walk socially and meet other people. So we looked at originally how connections can be part of an ongoing, healthy, long life and how that is positive. Now go back to the green zones. What happens when you, the green zones, the blue zones, any zone, but you go into a community or a neighborhood where you meet with people. You have brain stimulation, you have athletic endeavors, you know, you're walking uphill, maybe up steps. Maybe you do exercise with some friends, but these things are good for you. You eat and you maybe eat healthily with your friends. And if you're in some of these areas, some of the benefits of these areas or any area where you live maybe, is if you go to a store and get fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and not food with preservatives, these things are good. But one of the things that I said to Lisette is, I wonder if the sharing of viruses is good or bad, because it can be bad. We all get sick. So I thought, could we have any changes over time because of viruses? You know, could viruses, which are devastating, also somehow be protective? And guess what? 90% of our DNA is what you'd expect for humans, but 10% comes from 2 million years of being invaded by viruses. That 10% of our DNA remnants are from viruses. And that blew my mind. Part of evolution was only possible with viruses and their influence. So what happened was I'm looking at viruses and how they influence different things. And I said, what about COVID, where it attacked? There was a lot of negative. Was there any areas that were positive? How did the viruses we already have help fight COVID for some people and maybe not for others? And then all of a sudden this thing came up about cancer. Like, well, you know, was there an effect of it with cancer? So we're going down this whole rabbit hole of a path.
Okay.
And then I find something. Then I find something very interesting, which is glutamine. Glutamine is cancer's number one food. I'm like, well, what do you mean glutamine? You know, like glucose, sugar, proteins, amino acids put together, and the cancer says, hey, I want some of that, and that's what it feeds on. Mm-hmm. Then I realized that, wait, what do the muscles use for food? And they can use glutamine. And actually, they say that when you have cancer, you're pulling glutamine out of the muscles to feed the cancer, and your muscles can atrophy. So I thought to myself, this is interesting. Now, muscles are fighting for the glutamine and trying to retain it, and the cancer is taking it away, and the person gets weaker. I also heard studies over the last number of months and years that the number one thing to help us survive a cancer is muscle mass.
Yeah.
So I thought, maybe there's a link. Maybe there's a link between exercise and cancer. And maybe there is a way that pumping iron is a way of beating cancer.
Finally.
This is like around the world in 80 days.
Yeah.
We're on a balloon ride with Jim and Lizette.
We need to change the name of the show. Yeah, really.
It's called Rabbit Hole.
Yeah. in 90 days.
In 90 days, find the topic of the show.
Yeah. Figure out.
As a couple, as a human, as somebody who wants to survive, I'm always interested in what we can learn about survival, what gives us our best chance for the healthiest living that we can have, for the longest amount of time of trying to enjoy the connections that we have with each other, our friends, our associates, our children, our grandchildren, and if we're so lucky, great-grandchildren. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. But in any case, pumping iron, beating cancer. Let's continue on with it. So, interesting enough, let's go on to how exercise can help fight cancer and preserve muscle. The overview of today's show is, exercise may reduce tumor size by affecting glutamine levels and helps maintain muscle mass. And the takeaway that I hope you all get from today's show is, exercise can act as a natural way to limit tumor growth. So, are most of these studies done in humans? No. Why? Well, they don't want to inject humans with tumors in order to see how exercise affects or impacts. There's ancillary evidence based upon studies that are done of people who have exercise and people with tumors, but a lot of these studies, and today's going to be focused on mice, of course, but something can be learned that mice have similar, well, we all have DNA that's only a few percentage points changed, right?
Yeah.
It's like a head of cabbage has 56% of the same DNA that we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes I believe they're smarter, too.
Yeah, Maybe the cabbage is more smart.
The cabbage is smarter than we are.
Quiet and calm.
Hold on, let's listen to the cabbage. Every day I get a cabbage out of the refrigerator and say, tell me what you think of...
You have to feel, you know,
I want to feel what you think about today's environment, our socio-political environment. But going back to mice and the studies that are done, mice were studied for the impact of exercise on cancer. And I believe one was like intramuscular tumors, and the other was a type of breast cancer. And these were two of the types of cancers that were studied in mice with and without exercise. So they had a control group of mice, which were just kind of in a mice container. And then another group of mice that were put in a container that had an exercise wheel. And it was called voluntary exercise. They didn't force those mice to exercise.
They do natural.
Natural. They want to get on that thing and run.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at the mice. They looked at the ones that were exercising voluntarily and the ones that weren't. And there were some amazingly surprising or amazing and surprising results.
Yeah.
You want to get into it?
Sure.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So let's first start with, what is glutamine? Glutamine is an amino acid that serves as a building block for proteins. But in cancer, cancer uses a lot of glutamine to grow. It basically just sucks it up and builds itself up from the glutamine. So the idea is, the importance of knowing this is, by reducing glutamine's availability, we may slow down cancer growth. And that's the idea behind the study and today's program as well. So where does glutamine come from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it must come from our diet, and we must make it in some way. Well, let's read about that. It's produced in our muscles. 70% of the glutamine is actually made in the muscles from other things. So the sources of it are in foods like meat, fish, eggs, dairy, beans, and leafy greens. The absorption of it, most dietary glutamine is absorbed by the gut, where our biome is in the bacteria, and doesn't actually reach the bloodstream directly. Our main supply is our muscles, which release glutamine into the bloodstream to be used by other tissues, including tumors. right? So the glutamine is produced by our muscles. Mm-hmm. It can then be used for energy. It's used by tumors to grow. This is a big one. It's going to go off the screen, so I apologize for it, but how do muscles make the glutamine? Well, it uses the building blocks. They create glutamine using the other amino acids, mainly glutamate and ammonia. The key nutrients needed. Protein. It provides the amino acids building blocks needed for glutamine production. Glucose. Carbs. It almost sounds like a sugar, huh? In a way. Fuels the energy needed for the production of the glutamine. B vitamins. Support energy production and amino acid metabolism. And then the production processes enzymes in the muscle cells combine the glutamate with ammonia using energy to form glutamine. I wanted to go beyond that because I thought it would be kind of interesting to understand, are there other things that impact the formation of glutamine or the tumor's use of it? And there are. We're going to get into that in a minute. Finally, why do tumors need glutamine? We can start with this. Tumors use glutamine to build their cells. They basically, it's the same thing we use glutamine for, to build cells. Mm-hmm. Well, the tumors do the same thing.
Okay.
Right? It helps produce energy for the tumor growth. And finally, glutamine supports processes that make cancer cells divide faster. So the more access cancer cells have to glutamine, the quicker they divide and the quicker they grow. So the thought is, how do we starve tumors from getting this glutamine? How do we stop them from getting it, but still have it available for our muscles and ourselves? Mm-hmm. So that, thus, the if we can use up the glutamine as we're producing it in our muscles, if we can use it for the energy, can we then do that? And we're going to also look at a couple of drugs, maybe, that are to reduce the amount of glutamine that can get to the cancer-producing cells. Mm-hmm. So one is using chemicals to stop glutamine from getting to cancer. And the other is maybe looking at exercise. Is that a way that that can be done? Ooh, so we know of foods, right? Foods that have been associated with cancer in, well, around the world, but here in the United States. Here's a list of them. Here's a nice little picture of some of them. Processed meats, bacon, sausages, and hot dogs, those with all those chemicals, have been linked to increased cancer risk, especially colon cancer. Sugar, we just talked about sugary things, right? Glucose to help be a building block for glutamate. Sugary foods and drinks, high sugar intake can lead to obesity, which is also a known cancer risk factor. Interesting. Alcohol, regular and excessive alcohol consumption is linked to cancers of the liver, mouth, throat, and breast. And then fried foods. Foods cooked at high temperature, like French fries and fried chicken, can form harmful compounds that promote cancer growth. So you put
a lot of sugar,
fried. It's not fats. It's the fried fats. It's the change of structure. I think it's actually the damaging of structure through the frying process. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the processed meats where they have these chemicals in them, like nitrates and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not an authority at all on those things, other than processed meats have all these other chemicals in them.
Yeah.
Preservatives, right? These are things, we talk about this, right? Bread, if you get bread and it lasts on your shelf for 3 weeks, how long does it last in your stomach? They put chemicals in foods in order so bacteria doesn't attack and break it down. Mm-hmm. And yet, what's in our stomach? Bacteria. The bacteria needs to break it down.
Yeah.
So we feed ourselves with stuff that our gut says, what am I going to do with this, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So we eat unhealthily, and that's not a good thing. Well, on the other hand, if those are the bad things, what are the good things? And these are sometimes, again, associated with the blue zones, but they can be associated where you are if you go out and seek these things out. Foods that fight cancer, fruits and vegetables, high in antioxidants, For example, berries, leafy greens. These things will protect cells from damage. Whole grains, we hear about that. Brown rice. Not brain rice, but brown rice. Okay. Brown rice is good for the brain. Oats and quinoa provide fiber, which may lower the risk of colorectal cancer. I think this prebiotic material, right, the material that our stomach likes to digest and also helps clear things out, I believe is good for us. Fatty fish, salmon, mackerel, and sardines are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. They have anti-cancer properties. And then nuts and seeds, walnuts, flax seeds, and chia seeds contain healthy fats and compounds that can slow cancer growth. So those are the healthy things that are linked to cancer, but in a way of fighting cancer, not linked to promoting cancer, which I find if you can look at the things that were bad for you and the things that were good for you, you'll find a little difference there. Yeah. Processed versus non-processed. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about exercise and pumping iron and fighting cancer. A 90-Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And James.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Golnick, actually Jim Golnick.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about exercise and how it may fight cancer. We're talking about a lot of things. So we started talking about how cancer cells use glutamine to grow. So scientists start to research, how can I create a drug that blocks the uptake of glutamine in cancer cells? Sure enough, how tumors are starved by blocking glutamine uptake. Key discovery, scientists found a drug candidate that blocks glutamine uptake, which slows melanoma growth. Why does it matter? Well, melanoma and other cancers need glutamine to grow, so blocking it can stop tumor growth. And how does it do this? Well, its target as the drug is it blocks the glutamine transporter called SLC1A5, which we'll talk about in a minute, preventing cancer cells from getting their food. Okay, so what is this SLC1A5? So I it bothers me when I see a scientific paper and it explains something and then it names something that doesn't make any sense. So let's see if we can figure out what that is.
You can call Joe.
Joe, here's Joe.
Okay.
So I'm going to call this Jason Stratham.
What is that?
Jason Stratham? You don't know who that is? Mm-mm. He's the transporter. Okay. So this SLC1A5 is a sodium-dependent transporter that moves neutral amino acids, including glutamine, across cell membranes. So it helps get amino acids through a cell membrane, which in this case was helping the glutamine get into the cancer cells. So sodium ions, it's a sodium-dependent transporter, which means that sodium ions help this thing, this transporter, this thing that helps amino acids cross the cell membrane. It helps provide the net energy needed to move the glutamine into that cell, drive the car, you know, get the glutamine from the outside of the cell into the cell. So the cancer connection is high levels of sodium around our cancer cells can boost this SLC1A5 activity. So it helps the transporter move glutamine into the cell, allowing more glutamine to enter and fuel tumor growth, which why it matters is that if you can block this SLC1A5, if it could cut off the glutamine supply, it could slow down cancer cell growth and survival. So I added the salt thing in here because when I saw it was salt dependent or sodium dependent, I'm thinking that, well, maybe high intakes of salt along with processed meats and all this, that adds up to even more cancer producing substances,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So sodium becomes another thing when put in conjunction with other things that are negative impact.
And so most of the high percent of the food have high level of sodium.
Sodium too, right? Preserved. Yeah. Salt's another thing used as a preservative.
The two big number is sodium and glucose or whatever it's called. Yeah.
So how does this drug work that they came up with? So the drug itself works by these cancer cells rely on the glutamine, which are pumped into the cells by this transporter to grow quickly. The new drug, this IMD-0354 from this study we looked at, stops glutamine from entering the cells by blocking SLC1A5. It basically takes the car and it puts a big roadblock in front of that car. Jason Stratham can't drive the glutamine from outside the cell into the cell, so it's basically stuck outside the cancer cell. Results, the drug reduced tumor growth in both cell cultures and mice with melanoma. So melanoma in a petri dish and melanoma in mice, the growth was inhibited by using this drug to stop the transporter from transporting glutamine in. Now, it does that, but that's doing it to a bad cell. Does it affect the muscle? Does it affect the production of glutamine in the muscle? Does it protect, does it block the good use in other cells? Because a drug may have a good impact in stopping the growth of cancer, but does it have a negative impact on the muscle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does the muscle not produce glutamine at that point? When it does produce it, does it get blocked somehow?
Yeah.
What are the negative effects? We didn't look at that, but it's, you know, drugs have positive impact, but they also may impact other areas of our body as well. And finally, what is the broader impact of this drug? Since many cancers rely on glutamine, this drug could potentially treat multiple types. Further research is needed. Scientists are refining the drug to make it more effective for preclinical trials, meaning before we do try it in humans, we'll do some small trials. And then hope for the future, this new approach may help extend treatment response time and improve survival rates for melanoma patients. Well, what can we do if we don't want to get to the point of needing a drug? And hopefully maybe we're healthy right now, but we want to reduce the risk of cancer or reduce the risk of a growth of cancer. And since we think that maybe muscles have something to do with it,
mm-hmm.
Let's see. So we're going to move into exercise reduces glutamine levels. Basically, it becomes a competing user. Even though the glutamine is produced in the muscle, it's produced in the muscle. But when you exercise, it needs the glutamine to grow.
Okay.
So even though your muscles stagnantly, when they're doing nothing, produce glutamine, and then if you don't do any exercise and you do have a tumor, it pulls that glutamine from your muscle. and your muscles start to atrophy, the other thing is true, that when you use your muscles, it needs glutamine to grow, which removes it from the bloodstream, which means it's not readily available for the tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they found in the mice study, right? That the mice that exercise reduced the amount of glutamine that was available for the tumors, and the tumors stopped growing as quickly, or they actually got reduced in size, or they didn't see any of the muscle atrophy that they saw in the mice that didn't exercise.
Okay.
So the exercise prevented muscle loss and reduced tumors. We're going to get into all that, but it was pretty cool. So exercise, how it works. Exercise lowers glutamine levels in the blood. So the study showed that exercise reduced the glutamine by 27 to 39% in the mice, in their blood. With less glutamine available, tumors grew more slowly. So it didn't eliminate the glutamine, it just made it less readily available.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because the effect that it had at that lower level was quite profound. The research findings: exercise reduced the growth of breast and lung tumors in mice by up to 62%. So it was very effective. Tumors struggle to grow when they can't access enough glutamine. And now it's exercise versus medication. Exercise achieves similar results to drugs that block glutamine. That was pretty big. That was from the study. That's not from that's not our take on it, but it's from the study.
So it's also the more natural way that you block versus the other chemical that maybe have second effect.
Right. And you can exercise without having cancer.
Yeah. Of course.
But you're not going to be taking an anti-cancer drug when you don't have cancer. So you don't want to take a drug that blocks glutamine when you don't have a problem. But if you're exercising, it may help the start of a cancer.
Yeah.
May reduce the likelihood and promote the long-term survival. Exercise helps preserve muscle mass. So people who do have tumors or cancer slowly lose muscle mass typically. So for one thing, muscle wasting in this cachexia, common in advanced pancreatic, lung, head, neck, colorectal, ovarian, and liver cancers. This was one of the cancers that they studied, a cachexia cancer. How exercise helped in the mice: it prevents the loss of muscle by regulating glutamine and reducing muscle breakdown signals. Result: mice that exercise did not lose muscle, even with tumors. I'm going to repeat. The mice that exercised did not lose muscle, even with tumors. So they lost no muscle mass.
Yes, for exercise.
The ones that exercised lost no muscle mass. Yeah. The ones that didn't exercise lost muscle mass with the tumors. So they were given the same tumors. The ones that exercised didn't lose their muscle mass, which gave them longer stability before maybe something else happened. But the point was, is the biggest likelihood of long-term survival was to continue with the muscle mass being strong. And of course, having muscle mass to begin with is an indicator of better likelihood of not having cancer. Doesn't mean you're not going to have it, but higher likelihood that you have higher rate of survival. Moderate exercise. So in real life, we should be focusing on regular activities like walking, running, or swimming, which can reduce the glutamine levels that are available in the bloodstream for tumors and cancers to start taking up and getting a hold of. Consistency. Frequent exercise is key to keeping glutamine levels low. That's daily exercise, doing something, not just once a week or once a month. Go to the gym like right after New Year's, once a year. No, that's not going to help. What else do we have here? Case study example. So getting actually into the study. The voluntary wheel running, the mice that were allowed to run freely, tumor growth decreased by 43 to 90%. And that was based upon the type of tumor. For instance, the specific result in one of the studies with one of the types of tumors they were researching, the weight reduced by 90%. Again, the tumor was reduced by 90%. And the tumor volume was 91% smaller in the study. So it's hugely significant. It wasn't a little bit significant, hugely, 90 and 91%. Takeaway, simple. Regular exercise made a big impact on tumor size and muscle preservation. Again, these studies are done in mice, so they have no bearing on humans, right? Of course, that's not true. We find a lot of things first in mice. We test, we see how that works. Yeah. Then we start to look at trials in humans. And so you don't want to start with trials in humans and find out, oh, it had no impact. We just killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So they try mice first. And then what they learn from mice, they can then see if they can apply to humans. And a lot of times they can. So from my take and from, I'll just say, ancillary evidence, I would say that exercise in humans is probably a good thing to help reduce the risk, not eliminate, but help reduce the risk of having an impact from cancer.
And on the other hand, the balance, when you do exercise, you're feeling better and emotional, because people relate the cancer also for emotional weight.
Absolutely.
So if you do exercise, your chemical for, what is it called, serotonin?
Serotonin.
Yes, it starts to balance better, and then you have more immune system and your body working better. So
when you're breathing a lot of oxygen, when your muscles are been working out, when you're getting proper sleep, proper food. At the end of the show, we're going to do a big, like, here's some recommendations. But the point is when you take care of yourself, yourself will take care of you. Right? When you take care of your body will take care of you. When you don't take care of your body will not care about you. That's what I believe. So here is finally the key takeaways from the study and the research is exercise starves tumors. By reducing glutamine, exercise slows tumor growth, preserves muscle. Exercise helps maintain muscle, even in cancer. And then it's non-pharmacological. It's a natural and accessible way to fight cancer growth. Also, I believe it helps prevent cancer growth, right? It prevents it from establishing itself in the first place by balancing your system, by using the glutamine to grow muscles. So to me, there's a big benefit. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to give you some lifestyle recommendations, but we're actually excited to learn this about exercise. I didn't know that there was this much of a connection, and it's all connected through the glutamine. Look it up, glutamine, and see the impact of exercise and the impact of glutamine on cancer, and see how those two are always fighting, exercise versus cancer. Let's make sure exercise wins. We'll be back right after this.
We're here at Inglenook at Francis Ford Coppola's new winery. Well, they've had it for a few years, but this is his library, books that he has read over the years that have accumulated in his knowledge and his ability to come up with amazing storylines, beautiful video edits, creativity of films unlike anyone else. Let's take a look at one of the books in his library. Here we have 90 Day Soulmate, How to Find Your Perfect Match in 90 Days by Lizette Guevara and James Golnick, actually Jim Golnick.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking how exercise can beat the heck out of cancer. Okay. gives you a fighting chance, how exercise has been shown in mice to, one, preserve muscle mass, and two, reduce the amount of glutamine available for tumors and cancer cells to grow, reducing their size and reducing their growth rate. Basically, exercise starves cancer cells. There's our summary. Let's go on. So what's some lifestyle recommendations? One, healthy living. Prioritize balanced sleep, stress management, and regular checkups. Nutrition. Focus on a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and lean proteins. Limit processed foods and sugars, especially processed meats. Regular exercise. Maintain physical activity for at least 150 minutes per week, incorporating both cardio and strength training. Now, that 150 minutes a week, is that just one time for 150 minutes? Or maybe five times for 30 minutes? I bet you it's five times for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Evenly spaced repetition of exercise, pushing your muscles and your aerobic capacity can only be good for you.
Yeah.
Unless you're running out in the street and then there's the danger of cars. But other than that, it's probably good for you. What else do we have here? Another recommendation. Caring, appreciation, and gratitude. As Lizette said before, mental state of mind helps foster health. By practicing gratitude daily and being positive in how you work with other people and think about things can improve overall health. Education and learning. Stay informed about health topics and cancer prevention. Continuous learning keeps the brain active. Neuroplasticity, growing the brain, also helps keep you alert, thinking well. Gaining experience. Embrace new experiences and challenges to build resilience and adaptability. Those things sound like good things to do. So we started this off with the power of social connections and how this, we were going to look at connections and being connected to people as how that enables you to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming full circle back here because our next slide is, see if we can get it up here, the power of social connections and mental health. Mental health and social connections. So when you have social connections, it leads to conversation and social interaction. You'll engage in meaningful conversations to reduce stress and improve mental well-being. When you are connected with people, you'll be connected through hobbies and interests. Pursue activities you enjoy to reduce stress and increase happiness. At the same time, meet people, talk with people, work with people. And with religion and spirituality, same thing. Engaging in spiritual practices can provide comfort, purpose, and reduce stress. All of those three things we just talked about there are when you're connected to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, social connection, connected to your local environment where you're living, access. We talked about walking, you know, walking daily, exercising daily. If you have a supermarket you can walk to and it's, you know, half a mile away,
yeah,
and it's got some fresh leafy green vegetables and things that don't have preservatives, why not walk there, pick them up, and
come back home?
Come back home daily.
You kill many, many birds with one stone. Because so I hear somebody say they do this practice, like the first walk into the supermaker,
right.
Second, see how much auction you have, and then you feel grateful for half opportunity to have a $10 to buy food. So you practice the
gratefulness.
Gratefulness. Sure. You practice your exercise. You enjoy and talking with people in the supermaker, just have some kind of connection.
Yeah, meet some of the people that are in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And as you walk down the street and you go to your supermarket, you say hello.
And then they say that before she's thinking, oh, I have to go to the supermarket, yeah. You know, so yeah. Angry. Now she enjoy just change the way the same action. So you feel more happy, grateful, relaxing to do this versus feel, oh, I need to go there.
Yeah. I think that's especially true in a smaller neighborhood where you can actually know your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have like-minded neighbors that are out who want to go out in the, let's call it beautiful weather. I guess sometimes the weather's not so beautiful. But when you want to see people, when you want to say hello, when you want to be social, when you want to exercise, when you want to do those things.
It's in your attitude.
Yeah,
it's your attitude. You don't want to find outside. It's yourself.
Ah, that's right. So your attitude comes from inside, not from outside, but it comes from being outside and not from being inside.
Okay, next show is...
So we talked about the power of social connections and mental health. Let's see what else we got here going up. Oh, here we go. Protecting yourself against cancer-causing viruses. Stay informed. Learn about cancer-causing viruses like HPV and hepatitis B and C. Make sure you get vaccinated against preventable viruses such as HPV and hepatitis B, especially if you are at risk. Safe practices. Well, here we go. Adopt safe practices, reducing exposure to virus-related cancer risks. So it's not only acting healthy, but reducing risk.
Yeah.
And if you need a vaccine, take appropriate vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
As we say. What else do we have here? Oh, I like this because we always go down. We talked a lot about exercise in the body, but let's talk about the brain for a moment here. So we want to stimulate the brain and the body. We talked about how in brain stimulation, when you engage in activities that challenge your mind, like puzzles, reading, or learning new skills, that really helps your brain continue to stay active, continue to process things. Muscle, bone, and organ stimulation, and that has to do with weight-bearing exercises, strengthen muscles and bones. We talk about skincare, taking care of your skin, as it's a vital organ, protected from excessive sun exposure. I don't know if we did a show on this, but everyone may know that your skin is considered an organ.
Of course, it's a big organ in your body.
It is. It protects you from all the outside viruses. It protects you from the weather. Without skin, you'd get all wet when it rained.
Okay.
Yes, it is protecting you from all sorts of things. And so mm-hmm. they say the sun exposure, you need to protect yourself and all these things. But
right now I hear some interesting, I have two or three videos talking about the cancer in the skin.
Yep.
Is more for people protect so much the sun and then be exposed, and like you go the vacation and you have 2 hours and the different time that like the noon or 1 or 2 p.m.
Okay.
Versus the people is always exposure in the sun in the morning and the afternoon supposed have
better protection.
Better protection. Yep. So that is something interesting to see the people don't know how control these exposure.
Okay.
And protect so much now that because it's a bit vitamin D that you don't have in your body because you don't receive enough sun because you don't want your skin receive sun. So.
So people protect themselves from being burned in the sun, but they stop themselves from producing vitamin D.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's this time of year where we are now, it's fall. We go outside at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun's very low in the sky.
And that's the best.
You don't really worry about sun block or any of that.
Yeah, and also suppose the red color of the sun is also beneficial for you.
Oh, being outside is beneficial too. Yeah. Seeing the sun is very nice. So we like that as well. What else do we have there? We talked about the skin, muscles, and brain stimulation. I think we have another slide on this as well, which is gut biome. So what else is there? So consume fiber-rich foods and probiotics to maintain a healthy gut biome. We talked about the gut in one of our programs. We'll get back to that in a second here. Vitamin Factory, ensure adequate sun exposure for vitamin D. That's what we just said. Consume foods rich in vitamins. So that's another thing. Positive brain chemistry, engage in activities that promote dopamine and serotonin release, like exercise or meditation. Maybe hugging your wife, that might be one too.
I like that.
Feeling good, prioritize activities that make you feel good, enhancing overall well-being and reducing stress. I want to get back to the gut biome. We had a whole show on just the gut, where when we're born, babies have over 1,000 species of gut bacteria where only about 500 of those species are actually known, like what they are. And that it's just, you know, 1,000 species of bacteria in our gut. And that's how we digest food. That's, mm-hmm. you know, the bacteria get it first. And they say, hey, I love this stuff, thank you. Or they say, what is this stuff? And they get all upset and they push it back out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you kill too many bacteria, that's bad for you. So when you take antibiotics, which are trying to help you in another area of your body, now they're affecting your gut bacteria. And they say, oh, you should be eating yogurt. Do you know how many strains of bacteria are in yogurt?
Hello.
Well, there's like 8 or 12 strains.
Oh, really?
Not how many bacteria.
Ah, okay.
Strains. There's like, oh, there's a billion and, you know, a billion bacteria in here. But there are usually 6, 8, 12 different strains of bacteria. Our gut has, as we get older, maybe it's limited to now 500 different strains. Hmm. But they're not all, like, you not have 500 of them in yogurt. So I just find it interesting that we're born with all these bacteria. It's like, yeah. And the joke, it's not really a joke. We discuss how we may be, as humans, just carrier for our bacteria's survival. The bacteria created the human being to live within, so it could go from one place to another and survive in all sorts of weather. Who knows?
So we're the home of the bacteria.
We're the home of the bacteria. We're like the mobile home of the bacteria. We're the RV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go to Florida. Well, did I really think that, or was it the bacteria? I don't know.
There we go.
My bacteria wants to see some of its cousins, so yeah. it's giving me ideas. Oh, you know, who knows?
Okay.
Maybe we're bacteria mates. Mm-hmm. 90-day bacteria mates. All right, we're going off topic a little bit, but that's what we do here. What else? So we talked about feeling good, doing that, and then we will do a summary right now, which is exercise reduces glutamine levels. The glutamine that is used by tumors and cancers to grow, divide, and without it, they have a hard time doing it. As we discussed in the study, that there was a 90% reduction, 91% reduction in size of tumors in mice that exercised freely and voluntarily on the wheel in their cage. And there was no reduction in the ones that didn't exercise. The ones that didn't exercise lost muscle mass. They're basically giving up their muscle. They were atrophying. They were giving up the glutamine that was in their muscle to the tumor, and the tumor was growing. But when the mice ran, their muscles fought back and kept the glutamine. Their muscles stayed strong, and they starved the tumors. Mm. So exercise is very important. Being in a positive frame of mind and not giving in. I think almost the worst thing to do, and this is just an opinion, the worst thing to do when you are diagnosed with cancer, or maybe you hear there's, you know, that you're from a family that has had cancer, is feeling depressed, giving up, and not exercising. Because basically you're saying, okay, take me.
Yeah.
Whereas you give yourself a fighting chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from a young age, don't wait until you actually have a problem.
Yeah.
Exercise should just be something that we enjoy. And even if we don't enjoy it, we should enjoy it. What else do we have here? Finally, we have how we just started this show, Exercise Fights Cancer. How pumping iron equals beating cancer. I think we covered that in today's show quite well. I was thoroughly surprised from how today started and what we learned.
Yeah, we learned a lot.
And hope you learned something today. Keep up the exercise, eat well, sleep well, have great connections with family, friends, and acquaintances and your neighborhood. Hope you learned something this week on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Have a great week.
See you.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.